The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Now, I don't know what you think of this little book, this little song of 8 chapters, but Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And in chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "This is the song of songs." In other words, the other 1,004 songs were not as important as this particular one. This is a special song. It's a song about a little Shulamite girl, a dark girl, a very beautiful girl who was in his chambers waiting. And waiting for him to, well, they were there among the virgins in his chambers. And he was trying to win her to himself, but he failed. There's nowhere in this song that he ever won that girl to himself. There are several characters here: Solomon, the principal one, of course, and this girl, the Shulamite girl. Then there's the daughters of Jerusalem, who were those waiting in the chambers in chapter 1 and verse number 3, 4. And she has a shepherd boy somewhere. She never seems to see him. She thinks she does. She dreams about him. She gets up and walks around the street in chapter 3 and a nightmare, evidently. She's looking for him. The policemen find her she wants to know, "Where is he whom my soul loveth?" Now, Solomon at this time wrote 3 books of the Bible. He wrote the book of Proverbs when he was very young and wise. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes when he was an old man. And looking back over life and seeing that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And the Song of Solomon he wrote when he was getting away from the Lord. In chapter 6 and verse number 8, he has 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. And it's all these women, mostly heathen women, that got him away from the Lord. So he's well on his way away from the Lord. Now, what I want you to look at especially, at this little girl, I see Solomon here not as a type of Christ. Solomon is a type of Christ as a king, yes, but not as a savior. I see Solomon here as a picture of the world in which we live. This little Shulamite girl didn't have too much. She was the only one of her mother. She did have brothers, and she didn't have too much. And he had everything that a girl could desire. He had it. But she didn't want it. She always talked about her beloved. "I am my beloved's and he is mine." She's always looking for a shepherd boy somewhere that she had met under an apple tree. And she always looked for that shepherd boy. She turns herself off from Solomon. Now I want you to notice in verse number 7. "Tell me," she says this, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." 5 times over in this book, she uses that phrase, "O thou whom my soul loveth." It's used again in chapter 3. She's on her bed at night, evidently dreaming, "I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but found him not." Now she'd have no trouble to find Solomon. She knew where he was. And Solomon was not out feeding his flocks anywhere. He was not a shepherd. He had many sheep, but he was not a shepherd. He was a king living in a palace. She's looking for a shepherd boy somewhere out in the hillsides, feeding his flock. And she's longing to see the one that she loves. Now, there are 3 characteristics of this girl that ought to be true of every one of us as Christians. Her love for for her absent lover, a shepherd boy. It's not hard to see that the Lord Jesus, who was the good shepherd that came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, is now the great shepherd in heaven above, and he's the chief shepherd that's coming back again in 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's this little girl waiting, loving her absent shepherd boy. All through this book, you're going to find she not only loved him, but she was loyal to him. She wasn't interested in Solomon. He made approaches to her, and if you read this book carefully, you'll find that she turned him off every time. She was not interested in him. She not only loved her absent lover and was loyal to him, but she was longing to see him, even imagining at times his hand on the door and hearing his voice in chapter 2. In verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is not Solomon she's hearing. She's dreaming and thinking about her absent lover boy, the one she had met under the apple tree, and that's very significant where she met him. Now, so those are the three things that characterize this girl. Her love for her shepherd boy, her loyalty to him, and her longing to see him. In those three things, you've got the three virtues of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 of love, faith, and hope. Love, faith, and hope. Now abideth these three, love, faith, and hope. Our love of our Savior, our faith and loyalty to our Savior, and our hope and longing to see our Savior. Tell me, who, O thou who my soul loveth? She's longing to see him. Now, with that in the background, I know you can draw pictures here and there, everywhere out of the Scriptures, but I could never see any picture of Christ as Savior in the person of Solomon. He was a very worldly and died really away from the Lord. He was a good king, no wars, and in that respect, he's a picture, of course, of Christ and his reign. But I'll look in chapter 2. And verse number 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Now, the songwriter, of course, makes this to be the Lord, Jesus. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Personally, I don't think that is true here. I think this is the girl saying that. She's saying to Solomon, who is trying to win her in the previous chapter, in verse 16, he says to her, behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant also, and so on. And she says, I am the rose of Sharon, just a little insignificant rose in the desert. I'm just one lily in a whole valley full of lilies. And he says to her in verse 2, yeah, but as a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. When you see my love in this, it's feminine, it's the girl. When you see my beloved, it's the male. Solomon, she is saying to Solomon, I'm just a little scentless rose of Sharon, rose in the desert. I'm just one lily among the whole lilies of the valley. And he says to her, yeah, but if you take one lily out of a valley and put it among a thorn bush, then that's quite different. And he says, that's what you're like among the daughters, the virgins in my waiting chambers. So she goes on to describe her lover. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Now, an apple tree, if you see an apple tree in the woods, it's not a native of the woods. It's been planted there. And the Lord Jesus was like an apple tree that was planted here. He was not a native. Though he was the creator of all things, he was not a native of time and of humanity. He was planted here. He was in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, so that he might bear the curse of the law for us. So here she's describing her lover as like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, then placed there, divinely placed there, so is my beloved among the sons. Now if you look over in chapter 8, we're coming back in chapter 2, but if you look over in chapter 8, and verse number 5 of chapter 8, you're going to see the apple tree mentioned again. The only two times it's mentioned, I believe, in the entire Bible. In verse number 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. So this little girl, this Shulamite girl, said she was born under the apple tree. And she said, I grew up under the apple tree. And in chapter 2 and verse 3, she says, I sat down under that apple tree. Now, if the apple tree there is a beautiful picture, metaphor of Christ, then Christ, the apple tree, was planted among the trees of the wood. He was planted among the children of men. He was not a native, like an apple tree is of the wood. He was planted there. He was placed there. And that's the place where she said she was born. That's the place we're born, under God's apple tree. At the foot of the cross, that's where we're born again. And she says, that's where I grew up, under the apple tree. And you know the sad thing about people getting saved, we get to the cross and we get saved, and we're sort of like the fellow that got up and announced his text and straightway departed from it. And we leave the cross, and we usually get all involved in all the problems and the doctrines of the day, which is not wrong to get involved in those, but we get away from the cross. And when we start moving away from the cross work of Christ, we're getting away from God. Because everything we have, it comes from that apple tree. From that one who is my beloved among the sons of men. That place where we're born again. That's the place of growth, where we grow. And she said she was not only raised, born under that apple tree, that's where her mother brought her forth. That's evidently where she met this shepherd boy. And it's where she was raised under that apple tree. And here in chapter 2 we see her sitting down under that apple tree. Solomon trying to win her, describing her as like a lily among the thorns. That's what she is like to me, he says, among the daughters of men. But she says, my lover is like an apple tree among the trees of the wood. And says, I sat down under his shadow. Now you can't get any nearer to anybody than their shadow. That's as close as you can get. The nearest we can get to God is under his shadow. And you got this all through the scripture. The shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. She sat down under his shadow. And she sat there with great delight. That's where we should be sitting Not that we shouldn't be going with the gospel and all that, but this is the place of worship. The place where we were born under the apple tree. The place where we grew under the apple tree. And the place where we sit with great delight under his shadow. So, not only do we sit there under his shadow, but it says, and with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to our taste. The blessedness of tasting the fruits of Calvary. That's the place of worship. That's the place where we worship the Lord. There are many, many fruits of Calvary. Of course, forgiveness is the immediate one. The one that we need as poor lost sinners. And that's what we get when we come to Christ and put our trust in him as our Savior. We not only get forgiveness, but we get remission of sins. And the remission of sins and forgiveness is not exactly the same thing, although they both come from the same root word. Remission is the removal of sins. Forgiveness is only the fact that we're not going to face God with those sins. I can forgive you, you can forgive me, but we cannot remove the sin that we've committed against one another. God not only forgives, but he remits, he removes, he dismisses, he sends it away, the sins that we've committed. Sat down under his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. David says, oh, the blessedness of sins forgiven, and to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Though we sin, God will not charge us with those sins. He'll spank us for them, but he will not charge us for them. Because as far as the just judgment of God is concerned, that took place at Calvary, and our sins are gone. To be remembered no more against us at the great white throne judgment. So it's sitting down under God's apple tree. It's seeking him whom my soul loveth. It's getting close to the shadows of the cross is the place where we can worship. And as we taste and eat of the sweetness of that, the fruit of Calvary, then there can flow up from us, from our spirits, adoration, and out of our mouth, praises and thanksgiving unto our God. His fruit was sweet to our taste. And then, of course, is the blessedness of eternal life, that we have eternal life. There's the peace that we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the joy of God's salvation. And we should constantly be rejoicing in God's salvation and telling it out to other people. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Notice in verse 4, he brought me in to his banqueting house, the house of feasting. That's what she's talking about, sitting down in the house, the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. That's the love of the Lord Jesus. That's the love of her shepherd boy. She's telling Solomon, I'm just a little rose in the desert. I'm just one rose like that. And I have a lover, a shepherd boy, that's like an apple tree that was planted among the trees of the wood. And I'm sitting down under his shadow, tasting of his fruit. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Then she says in verse number 5, she's sick. There are two sicknesses that we should have. We should never try to get rid of them. We should never try to be healed of them. And here's one of them in verse 5. Stay me with flagons or raisins. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Now, the way that's worded would almost sound like we would say, well, she was fed up. But that isn't what it means. She was lovesick. She loved her absent lover so much, she just longed to see him. And consequently, her love made her loyal to him. Love and loyalty and longing all goes together. I've traveled much, in over 50 years on the road, and I love my wife. I'm loyal to my wife. I always long to see her. And that's the way it is with our shepherd boy. We don't see him now. Though seeing him not, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. But our love for our Lord is going to make us loyal to our Lord, and our loyalty to the Lord is going to give us that longing to see him. So she says, I'm lovesick. That's one sickness that we should never try to get clear of. Lovesickness. Now there's another one in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter number 13, that we should always have too. Chapter 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. This is homesick. So, lovesick and homesick. Hope deferred. That blessed hope has been deferred for quite a few years now, almost 2,000 years. That hope that Paul spoke about, that hope, that lively hope that Peter spoke about, has been deferred. And that maketh the heart sick, makes us homesick for the coming of the Lord. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. By the way, the tree of life is only mentioned in the first few chapters of the Bible and the last few chapters of the Bible, and it's mentioned again in the middle of the Bible in the book of Proverbs. And the tree of life speaks of all the fruit that God has for man, for the man he created. It was the tree that would give him eternal life had he ate of it instead of the wrong tree. So to be lovesick, she said, stay me with raisins, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Then she imagines her lover boy. And Solomon charges the other daughters of Jerusalem to leave her alone. Don't wake her up until he pleases, her lover boy pleases. Then she imagines the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows. He showeth himself through the lattice. And he said, and she imagines he speaks. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. She's now talking about Solomon. She's talking about her shepherd boy. O thou whom my soul loveth, tell me where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. She wants to see her lover boy. She's homesick. She's lovesick. As she sits down under the apple tree, his shadow, and tastes the fruit of that apple tree. So may the Lord help us to have that same love that this girl had for her shepherd, and have that same loyalty in a day when many are departing from the faith, to be true to him, and that same longing to see him when he comes. She says in chapter 2, Solomon says to her, there's little foxes that's spoiling our love affair in verse 15. And she says, my beloved, that's not Solomon, is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, or the mountains that separate us. That word means a separation. So may the Lord help us to be faithful and loyal to our Savior. and long to see him when he comes. Our Father, we thank Thee for our Savior and His love and His loyalty to us. And we know that He is longing to see those that He has redeemed, that they might be with Him forever. And we ever pray that we too might love Him more, that we might serve Him better, that we might be more loyal and faithful to Him, and that we might long to see Him and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So we ask Thy blessing upon each and every one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for your question.
Okay. Father, we would bow again to thank Thee for all the temporal blessings of life, Thy goodness that finds us healthy, and the prosperity that we have in this land, the plenty. And we thank Thee now for this refreshment for our bodies and our time of fellowship together, and ask Thy blessing upon each in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.